The Angry Chicken is a production of Amove TV. Bookmark amove.tv for more gaming and esports shows. The Angry Chicken is directly supported by listeners like you via patreon.com/TAC.
Everyone, get in here!
Ready for action!
I've got the beast in my sight.
A podcast about Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft. This is the Angry Chicken.
Greetings and welcome back, everyone. This is the Angry Chicken. I'm going to get right to it. I'm not feeling great today. So I am Garrett, and I will not be talking as much as Jocelyn today. Hi, Joss.
Hi, I guess it's going to be a pretty short show then.
Did you just call me long-winded? Did you just... call me long-winded.
No. It's only because I started back to an office job full time last week. So my gaming time has shrunk considerably. So I've played a little bit of Hearthstone, but nowhere near what I was playing over the holidays. So I only meant that I don't have like 18,000 anecdotes to tell today. So it's going to be a shorter show.
Well, we have a lot of Hearthstone stuff to talk about.
We do.
In what is becoming true fashion, which used to be the case and then wasn't the case for a while, and now is becoming the case again, big news dropped the day after we did a show.
Of course.
Yes. And so there's quite a bit to talk about today. I'm really excited about basically all of it. So let's stop beating around the bush. Big show for you today. We're going to talk about the new balance update. We're going to talk about Galakrond's Awakening. We've got a whole big fat battleground section because that is basically all I've been playing. I can't stop. I have a problem. I need to seek help.
I feel like that's the same thing that every single Battlegrounds player says. Like, I was watching Savitz for the first time in a really long time because he took a break from Hearthstone. I was watching him play today and he was like, I can't touch Constructed. I don't like Constructed, but Battlegrounds, like, I even play when I'm off stream and I'm just like, damn, man. You know you're enjoying something and you know it's got an addictive gameplay loop when you're sitting there streaming full time, like 6 to 8 hours a day. And then on your one day off a week, you're playing the same thing.
I can't stop myself. And it's not a dig against Ladder at all. I think they did a really good job with the first patch. I think they're doing an even better job with what we're about to talk about today. There's just, boy, Battlegrounds is just absolutely, I mean, it was already starting to happen. You remember, I was on a pretty big auto chess kick there for a while.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah, absolutely. You
know, now that it exists in Hearthstone and in my mind is more fun than auto chess. I almost said kitty crack, but I'm not a kitty. I'm Garrett. It's Garrett crack. I can't stop playing.
I'm a Garrett.
Yeah, I'm a Garrett. Yes, indeed. Two R's, two T's, that breed, not a tabby, you know, or whatever. I don't know what other, I guess there's a 1T Garrett out there, but we don't talk to those Garretts because their parents are psychopaths.
Oh man, how much cold medicine have you had today? We don't usually get the Garrett rant unless you're way down that rabbit hole.
It's not really, honestly, none. I've been tea and lozenges. I've just it's, I don't know, a lot of naps and catching up on work. That's what this is. So anyways, before we get into it, I want to thank those of you supporting us over at patreon.com/TAC. You like our podcast? You want to support us? Well, the Patreon is a way to do that. You get some perks like access to the patron-only Discord and our ad-free feed. You can, they'll send you a link. You can plug it into your podcatcher of choice. You're going to get the show like you always do. Same old normal podcast updated on the regular. So go check it out. Patreon.com/TAC. And to our most recent patron, Sean Howie. How do you pronounce? I'm not sure how to pronounce that one.
I am Sean not H. sure. Like,
it's,
yeah,
not Huey. Well,
no. It's like laugh with an H. Halfy?
I'm going to go with Sean Halfy. I like that. I like that. Laugh with an H. Wonderful. Well, thank you for the support, Sean. And everyone else, go check out patreon.com/TAC. But let's get right into it. This week's Hearthstone news.
Good news, everyone.
Oh, no. We've got a balance update. 16.0.8. And we're going to talk about the constructed changes, the standard ladder changes right now. And we'll talk about the battlegrounds changes in the battleground segment, which is where they all that kind of stuff will be discussed from here on out. But Jocelyn, quite a few nerfs came in.
Yeah, we had some nerfs to basically the like the evil classes. There were no nerfs to anybody on the good guy side because, let's face it, they're struggling a little bit unless you're going super aggro in the hunter paladin kind of wheelhouse. But yeah, the warlocks and warriors and shamans and rogues all got hit. So warlocks, they're basically these are the things that Ixar was talking about when he was talking about that they were going to be taking a look at Galakrond decks in particular, as well as some of the pirate stuff that warriors are doing. So their fiendish rites got changed. So it was increased from 3 to 4. And that's the one that you invoke Galakrond and give your minions +1 attack. So for the warlock, what that meant was you summoned 2 1-1s and then also gave your minions +1 attack. So, yeah, it was very, very, very well costed at 3. So I think the mana change was really warranted there.
Yeah, it was some serious gas for the Galakrond Zoo Warlock. Now it's been 6 days since this patch went live. And it has fallen a bit in the win rates, but not alarmingly so. We're down to a more gentlemanly win rate for Zoo Warlock.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at win rates across all the nerfs, basically the only one that fell off a cliff was Shaman. Everything else has kind of just stabilized in the kind of just over 50, you know, the 51, 52 type range. So kind of where you would expect decks to be, like nothing way up in terms of like where we were seeing things at, you know, 65s and 70s. So we're in a healthier, I think, win rate level for these decks. Warrior saw, like I mentioned, the pirates were targeted a little bit, as well as the Galakrond deck. And if anyone has played as or played against a warrior running Scion of Ruin, I do not think that you're surprised that this one actually saw a nerf. So this was a mana cost increase. Nothing else changed. But man, if you've invoked twice, there are so many stats rushing either for or against you, depending on which side of the play you're on. Scion of Ruin is just such a powerful card. Everyone thought it was going to be going into the expansion, and it did turn out to be that way. And so, yeah, I wasn't surprised that this one was on the chopping block because it was disgusting at 3 mana. So now it costs 4, which I think is perfectly fair. It might even still be like, I don't, too cheap. I don't, it seems like, you know, 9 attack, 6 health across 3 bodies is just, oh man, I have swung so many boards that I had no business winning.
Hey, let Zoo have their time. As far as I'm concerned, just let them bask in it. They found I'm going to keep going with cat analogies. They're a cat that found that one ray of sunshine and they just want to lay in it. I can't do anything except try and sound sultry with how hard it is to talk right now. So I'm just gonna be like Bob Ross with cat analogies today. It's gonna be great. You find the one ray of sunlight, Zulok, and you just lay in it. Be happy. Be happy, Zoo.
The other change that we saw for Warrior was to Ankar. So the weapon, the durability was changed from 3 down to 2, which actually was really, really impactful because, I mean, one of the drawbacks we often talk about with aggro decks is that normally they're not able to draw a whole bunch of cards. So that really wasn't the case with Pirate Warrior because they just got Ankar out and then there were a whole bunch of ways to buff the durability and stuff. And then they were just drawing, you know, card after card after card after card. So they didn't have the traditional like downside of being an aggro deck, which you just eventually run out of gas. They weren't running out of gas. So the change in durability down one, I think, was a really smart decision as opposed to just a change in mana cost, because it wasn't necessarily the cost of Ankar that was so that made it so powerful. It was the fact that, you know, 3 turns in a row you were generating that extra card, that extra resource. So I think this is a smart change.
Yeah, this is one of those cards that I historically find problematic, and I think Hearthstone has historically found problematic, because it's very much like Kel'Seth, where if you draw Ankar, your game just got a lot easier, and the win rate for like the mulligan win rate on Ankar reflect that. It is insanely high. If you look at the last month, it's around 70% all the way through the ranks. I just changed the filter to legend only just for the hell of it, and it's still at 70%. So yeah,
exactly.
That's so insane.
It was the gas that made the deck go. And because of all the other things that could interact with your weapons to give it more durability, it just, once you got that online and assuming that you had some weapon related cards in your hand, it was this constant engine for your deck. And by the time the durability would run out, you might have drawn four or five cards from it and you've won the game. So you don't even care that, you know, the last swing goes face and you just win.
Yeah. Yeah. On our next dev interview, I'd like to talk to them about those cards, because there were a couple of cards that were Kel'Seth-esque in their power level in this set. And I feel like we spent a lot of 2019 talking about lessons learned. And you know, we looked at cards, and more often than not, we said, wow, they definitely learned their lesson with this comparison from the past. Mm-hmm. And then between Ankar, and we're going to talk about Necrium Apothecary when we get down to Rogue, those are two cards that very much feel like Kel'Seth to me, where it's like, oh,
did you draw it in the right order? Yeah.
Did you draw it? Well, you don't really need to think about how you play this game anymore. Did you not draw it? All right. Well, good luck.
Exactly.
Well, Pirate, less so for the Warrior. I think they still have plenty of avenues to win without Ankar, but for if you've been playing that Rogue deck with Necrium Apothecary, oof. But let's talk about Shaman first, because they came for my Dragon's Pack, Jocelyn.
Finally.
they came for it, and this one stings a little bit. It's now a +2/+2 buff to your Spirit Doggies instead of a +3/+3. They didn't mess with the mana cost. They didn't add any overload or anything like that into the mix here. It's just a stat reduction, which, frankly, it's fine. This is fine.
Yeah, it's sorely needed, that stat reduction, because that Dragon's Pack, like, those dogs were too big. They were just absolutely ridiculous. They were hard to get through. There was a lot of stuff that, you know, had five attack, and then you'd run it in, your stuff would die, and then you're just like, oh, man, and then theirs is still living with this one health. I found that so often, is that I had just not quite enough to get through them. And it was so frustrating having to run multiple things into that, because the attack was so high too. It wasn't just the health. It was that the attack was really high. So you couldn't even run a couple of things into it and have your stuff live. It was like, no, they were killing everything and usually trading and doing it like 2-1. Well, it's not even 2-1. It was like 2.5, because Dragon's Pack is one card that summoned these two giant minions. So yeah, it was ridiculous the way it was. So I'm glad that they took a look at this and changed it. And they also changed for Shaman the Invocation of Frost. So this mana cost went from 1 to 2. So this was the basically freeze something and invoke Galakrond, which gave you the 2-1 rushing elemental, which in later builds of that deck did actually start to matter, because people were running Earthen Might. So the elemental tag actually does matter on the Galakrond invocation. So for Shaman, so these two changes did seem to actually have a really big impact on Shaman. So the first round of changes that were directed right at Shaman had a really big impact, and then the deck basically, it doesn't have a positive win rate anymore. It's down to like 49% or 48% win rate. So
yeah, I think
it's fallen off a cliff, but I think people are okay with that.
I'm not, but most people are. I think Invocation of Frost was one step too far. I agree with the Dragon's Pack change. I think Invocation of Frost was too much.
Well, I think the Invocation of Frost was probably okay at one mana, but I think that the kind of fatigue around Shamans being a powerful class and seeing them over and over again on ladder, that was kind of like rolled over from the Evolve Shaman meta that we had for 2 months with that, with the Doom and the Tomb event, like all of that. I think they really just wanted to kill this Shaman deck and be like, you know what? You had a few weeks at the start of the expansion where this deck was really, really good. We hope you got it out of your system, because just, we want it gone. And it's gone. yeah. I think they wanted. I think they wanted to wreck the deck entirely. Like,
I agree with you. I'm just saying, I think that's a bad way to balance your game.
Like, yeah.
If your goal is to kill an archetype competitively, I think that's a little lame, personally. They'll never admit that, but.
And then we also saw a change to Rogue. So Necrium Apothecary, which was something that I thought might get touched in the first round of nerfs. I was surprised that it kind of made it through unscathed, even though they said they were specifically targeting Shaman. Necrium Apothecary did actually get the mana cost increased to 5. So this is the one where you draw a Death Rattle minion and gain its Death Rattle. So this was the culprit behind just so many things. There were people playing them alongside Whelps to get more 8/8s. There were people playing them alongside the Anubiseth dude and getting, you know, a +3/+3 buff to your hand, and combined with, you know, the Death Rattle, the Necrium Vial weapon, it just, things were getting out of control. So I'm glad that this at least slows them down a little bit. And I think the win rate has adjusted itself down to, again, where they probably want it to be in a more balanced world of Hearthstone.
Yeah. Well, it's fine. I was hoping that they would nerf Necrium Apothecary basically the second the expansion released. So it's all right. Yeah. I just ran and hid in Battlegrounds. It's fine. It's okay.
One class that didn't get touched on the evil side that I think a lot of people were really hoping that it would be / thinking that it would be was Priest. So we didn't see any changes. I mean, the thing with Priest is that their Galakrond isn't necessarily oppressive. It's not the Priest Galakrond deck that is so frustrating right now. It's the Rez one. So, and even then, I don't necessarily think the Rez Priest is, you know, overwhelming. It doesn't have a crazy win rate the way that Shaman did. It's one of those decks that when you queue into it, either you're able to play against it or you're not. Like, you've either got tech in your deck that's going to work against the Priest or you don't. And if you don't, then you're pretty much toast. So,
yeah,
they kind of feel like one of those polarizing decks that we talked about in the meta like a while back. Now we had a crazy polarized meta where it's like just matchups would just be these crazy huge like 80-20 matchups, and that never feels good. And I think that's kind of where Rez Priest is right now. So overall, its win rate is right around 50, but because it has these crazy swinging matchups, it just feels bad. And it feels bad, you know, sometimes for the Priest when they get a really bad matchup, and then sometimes for the person who's playing against the Priest if they're the one with the bad matchup. So polarizing decks are never good. So I'm surprised this didn't get touched, but maybe there's some stuff coming in the single player that'll kind of shake things up and make it easier to play against.
They've basically taken the slot of the Warrior for kind of the swingy pain point for a segment of the community on ladder, and also in that the deck that is problematic, the Resurrect Priest that you're talking about, which it's where was I going with this? Oh, it's not very different from what priests have been doing. We've been fighting against priest decks that have been doing what this deck does for a long time now. Like, we've seen Plague of Death played a bunch of times. We've seen the Xerix Cloning Gallery enough times at this point. I mentioned the Convincing Infiltrator last week. I don't need to see that card ever again. And I know for me, that's where this starts to become abrasive. It's like, well, I've been playing against this type of priest deck for what feels like an eternity now.
I mean, like, we were talking, I remember kind of the first time that Rez Priest really kind of became a deck, because we were talking about it with Raven on the first time he came on Angry Chicken, which was back in like 2017. So yeah, this has been, and like you say, like Cloning Gallery Priest was popular at the end of like 2018 into 2019. This whole archetype has just kind of been poking around in the background, and, you know, alongside Combo Priest, that's just kind of the way that Priest has been played. So I can see having some sort of some level of fatigue in terms of like not wanting to see this archetype anymore. I don't mind it, but that's just me.
Fair. I'm with you, priest haters. I'm with you.
I'm kind of on the fence.
Frankly, at the end of the day, I'm just mad we didn't get a competitively viable Dragon Priest deck in the Dragon expansion because I missed Dragon Priest. But
yeah.
Yeah, it's a little extra salt sprinkled on, in my opinion, here for the fact that the priest deck that we're still dealing with is a damn Resurrect Priest. So,
yeah, I miss Spiteful Summoner Priest. Man, no, I love
that one was
deck.
Fun too. That one was fun too. Rip.
It was a lot of fun.
Rest in peace.
One thing that they did touch that I was not expecting was Dragon Queen Alexstrasza. So her battle cry has been changed, not exactly the battle cry itself, but how it works on the back end, so that she can no longer generate herself as part of her battle cry. So no more infinite Alexstrasza. Not that that ever happened that often. It's a pretty slight nerf in terms of nerfs, but yeah, they've taken away the small chance of getting a free second Dragon Queen Alexstrasza by just taking her out of that pool entirely. I'm not sure who was like getting infinite Alexstrasza so they thought it needed fixing. Like, there wasn't anyone playing a Highlander deck that I was like, whoa, now that's excessive. So I was shocked for this one.
I mean, I've seen it happen on stream and highlights. I have to imagine.
Yeah, but like,
have to imagine people, that this is something.
People do stream highlights of things that are like super rare. You don't go, oh, look, this thing happened. And it's like my Joey bot made a 1/1. Like, that's not a stream highlight. So yeah, it's four things that are exceedingly rare and very exciting. So I don't know. This made me very sad.
Excuse me, Jocelyn. It's Mekaru that generates a Joey bot.
Whatever.
Come on.
Whatever.
Joey bots.
You push those glasses up there, Gary.
I bruised the bridge of my nose doing it. I hope you're happy. I hope you're happy. Yeah, I this is the kind of thing where I go, oh, internal stats must happen more often than we think it happens.
I guess, maybe. I don't know.
Well, look at me just oscillating between it's a big fat conspiracy and they're just trying to murder Shaman to satiate the public and they're not going to tell us. And I trust them. I think there's internal statistics means that right. Dragon Queen Alexstrasza gave a Dragon Queen Alexstrasza one too many times. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's not even internal stats. Yeah. Maybe they're just like, if this happens 20 times, we're going to change it. And it finally ticked over to 20. They're like, that's it. I don't care how long it took to get there. We're pulling it.
Yeah. Anyway, so that change did happen. So all of the cards that we mentioned are going to be eligible for a full Arcane Dust refund for 2 weeks. So approximately another 8 days from now. And in terms of stats and win rates, we've talked a little bit about all of the archetypes that kind of saw some hits as a result of the nerfs. But the kind of top of the pile now are the very kind of aggressive decks. So your Mech Paladins, your Secret Hunters, your Face Hunters, and your Token Druids are just running away with stuff right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a very aggressive ladder out there, which then I think is what is leading to these Res Priests, because they are just like heal like crazy, right? So, you know, they're resing stuff that's going to be healing them over and over and over, and they're, you know, getting stuff that's going to kill stuff off your board and putting just crazy taunts in your face. So I think maybe don't be mad at Res Priest. Maybe be mad at the fact that the top four decks are quite aggressive playstyles.
I'm mad at Res Priest.
Okay, fine. Be mad at Res Priest then.
Can't you tell by the tone of my voice that I'm just furious?
Oh, yeah. Your tone is all over the place tonight. Can definitely tell what you're thinking just by the sound of your voice.
Yeah. So go dust your Shaman cards. It's trash now. Just out, cast it out in the street like your old Christmas tree.
Oh, we did that this week, and it always makes me so sad taking it down.
Ours is still up because we both have birthdays in January, and mine's at the end, and I require the tree basically stay up till February because I like seeing it. But we did take down the lights on the outside of the house, and that always bums me out. So also our tree is fake, so it's not leaving, like, it's not like basically dead.
Ours is real. And now dead.
Yeah. I need to take this Mech Paladin for a spin, because you know me, if there's a popular paladin, I will play it into infinity.
Well, and Mech Paladin is getting some love from what we can see in Galakrond's Awakening, which is launching January 21st. This is the single player portion of the whole expansion, and I'm pretty stoked. It seems like they're kind of going back down the whole adventure route and giving us cards, which is really cool. But then at the same time, they're putting this like new spin on it, because when you're doing it in normal, it's all pre-built decks, which is really interesting. So you get a deck specifically built for the encounter you're about to do. And yeah, this is kind of interesting. For Heroic, you get to build your own deck. So if you are looking for the super ultra mega challenge, you can go and build your own decks. But yeah, this looks kind of cool. So there's going to be 24 different battles. It's picking up the story where we left off with our heroes and villains, with the tombs of terror unsealed and the plagues all over Uldum, and the fact that archvillain Murfam escaped with the plague of undeath, which he's now using in to resurrect Galakrond. So this is kind of our overarching, like, big year-long story. This is where we're ending up now, is with archvillain Murfam attempting to resurrect Galakrond. So you'll get to play as a hero or a villain that we've seen this year and get, like I mentioned, the pre-made decks. You get two different card backs when you clear Heroic, which are basically just like, they look pretty much exactly the same. They're just a recolor. So the evil one is kind of like purpley and pinky and silver. And then the explorer one is kind of like gold and green and white.
There are some unique cracks and scratches on these. yes, sorry, that's about it. That's all I got.
Okay. I was like, do you have some big conspiracy theory about what that might mean?
No. It's just they had a complete card, and as someone who's done graphic design for games, yeah, this is what you do. You copy it, you change the colors, and then you add some unique distressing to just give it a little extra oomph.
So clearing Heroic, like I said, will earn you those two card backs, one for each faction, I guess. And then we're going to get a weekly rollout. So each week we'll get a new chapter. And then in those chapters, that's where you're going to be, first of all, paying for them, but you can pay for them with gold. But that's where all of your card unlocks are going to come from. So again, very much like Wings in the old adventures that we used to play. It's kind of, it's this like cool combo of old stuff that we used to do and new stuff that they're trying. And I think this could be really cool.
I think this is an insanely high value proposition after paying 19 or around the, I think there was a slightly different price at one point, right? For one of them, because we got more, I don't remember at this point, but paying around that $20 mark and getting cards that we get to keep, that we're guaranteed to get, that we can use in standard, like that's, that's great. I gotta say, like, testament, like, hats off, like, literally look at how terrible my hair is, video audience, hats off to them, because I am excited for this, and don't let anything I'm about to say take away from that. I'm gonna miss the dungeon run, because they did such a good job with it this year. Does this mean no Bob Jocelyn?
This means no Bob. You're going to get, like I said, those pre-built decks, and you get to build your own in Heroic, but there is no dungeon run type mechanic. This is very much like the adventure Wings. There are encounters for you to do in each different place that you choose your hero for. So this is very much like one and done, in with the deck. No Bob.
Listen, I realize that Bob is a hot commodity now, all right? He probably...
Well, yeah, he's very busy with Battlegrounds.
I'm sure Bob's agent is requesting a much higher fee for appearances now that Bob has made it big with Battlegrounds. But Bob is worth it, Team 5. Pay whatever he is asking so he can have another, you know, have another little... Hi, hello, how you doing here? Maybe it's just Bartendotron.
Appearance?
Yes, couldn't think of the word. Thank you, Jocelyn. Maybe it's just all Bartendotron.
I do like that. Hi, hello, how you doing, though?
I think you can win this one, friend.
Oh, he's so supportive.
I feel like I never hear that voice line when I'm actually doing well, and I only ever hear it when I'm like, I'm going straight to eighth. We're going straight to eighth, everybody.
And he's like, he refuses to give up on you, which is amazing. But yeah, so I mentioned that you'll be paying for the wings. So the individual wings, or sorry, they're calling them chapters, but each individual week, you'll be paying.
I mean, they're dragons. This is such a missed opportunity to not call these wings.
Right? So you can purchase each one for $6.99 or 700 gold. So like I said, you can go either way, except for the first chapter. So each week you'll get an evil chapter and an explorer's chapter. The evil chapter in the first week is going to be free for everybody. That includes the cards. If you do buy the first week, though, then you get the explorer's card, the evil card, and three bonus cards. So that's kind of like the where they're making up the money in the first week, though they're giving the first evil chapter to everybody. You do get the bonus cards if you actually purchase the chapter one, I guess, explorer side. The full adventure you can buy for $20, easy peasy. This includes every chapter and every card. There's 35 cards total that are going to be unlockable. And if you pre-purchase it right now, you get a golden classic pack on top of that that can just sit in your Hearthstone client and never get opened like Garrett does.
I love it. It is the rarest thing you can collect. I can craft any golden card I want if I have the dust. I cannot get a golden classic pack whenever I feel like it.
I guess that is technically true.
It is a weird collectionist thing of mine. Let me be, Jocelyn.
Okay. I will not judge.
Never mind. Sounds like you're judging.
No, I'm not judging. I was just going to say, don't worry, we don't kink shame here. And then I'm like, maybe Garrett's kink for golden classic packs is a little bit too far, but now I've gone and said it, so that's happening. Like I said, there's going to be 35 cards that are unlockable throughout the Explorers and Evil campaign, and then after you do earn the card as part of the adventure, then you're going to be able to craft the golden version, but you can't craft the golden version before you actually earn it in the either Explorers or Evil campaign. So we're basically getting one chapter a week starting on the 21st. So 21st, 28th, and then February 4th and 11th, we will have new chapters. And guys, we've got some cards to look at, which is super fun.
We do. They have shown a whopping four cards.
Yeah, four cards.
And let's start with Reno. Why not? It's at the bottom of the actual website I'm pulling this from. But the Amazing Reno is a new hero card for mages. Going to cost you 10 mana to play the Amazing Reno. You're going to get your five armor, as you would expect. And the card text on this hero card reads, Battlecry, make all minions disappear. Poof.
Yeah, guys, poof is on the card. If you haven't actually looked this card up and seen it yet, poof is actually part of the battle cry. So I'm curious because I admit I haven't done any digging. Chat room, you might know. But when Reno makes minions disappear, poof, is that like Plague of Death? It silences and doesn't trigger any death rattles. Do they, you know, it says that they, even Reno doesn't know where they go. So do they actually go somewhere that's unexpected? What is poof?
I think Reed just got it confirmed that they're just removed. It doesn't trigger death rattles.
Okay.
It's like, they're just poof. Like, it's like they were never
and
there.
And they're not put anywhere.
Correct.
Special, right? Like, they don't show up randomly in players' decks, or some of them go to the graveyard or whatever. Like, they're just gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So have fun.
So that's really strong then.
Yeah. Again, I believe this is like secondhand from like,
yes.
I'm like, I wonder what Regis thinks about these cards and watching his video. But Regis never led me astray before. So I'm going to trust him on this one.
Yeah.
And then they didn't show what the hero power was when the Amazing Reno was shown, and it is still not up on the website, but it has since been shown, or at least explained in a Reddit comment. It's called What Does This Do? It's a passive hero power, and at the start of your turn, you cast a random spell.
I'm pretty sure this is Garrett's most favoritest hero power that has ever existed in Hearthstone.
It's fine. You get one spell cast at the beginning, and you got to wait till you got 10 damn mana to slap this down, and it's not until next turn, as opposed to Yogg, which is,
yeah,
I'm going to possibly negate anything that happened over the course of this entire game.
Yeah, but chat room, I agree with you. Reno, the lovable idiot, is probably my favorite thing to come out of this whole year of Hearthstone storytelling. And I mean, Sir Finley came back, so that's telling you something. Although the Sir Finley heart eyes face is also one of my favorite things from this year. So,
yep. Oh, I don't have it on here anymore. I don't have his sound anymore. That's unfortunate.
Darn.
What a sad day. Funny enough, Sir Finley's safe word is Golden Pack. Chaos Gazer was also shown. 3-mana, 4/3, epic warlock demon with a battle cry that reads, corrupt a playable card in your opponent's hand. They have one turn to play it.
That's kind of nuts. So basically, corrupt a card in your opponent's hand, and then like it just dies on your next turn. Like, that's crazy.
That is crazy.
Your next turn or their next turn? I guess it doesn't really matter.
Well, they have one turn to play it. So you would play this. Yeah. It would pass to them. They could then choose to play that card if they're capable.
And then it would get destroyed.
Of playing that card. And then I would assume when it goes back to the Chaos Gazer player's turn, poof, it goes away. This should also say poof.
It does say corrupt a playable card in your opponent's hand. So I'm assuming it says that because of mana cost. So like if it's turn 3, it's not going to corrupt a 10 mana card because that card would not be playable.
Oh, that's a good point. Hadn't thought about that.
So, I mean, it's one of those things where it could potentially be usable, like very strategically, but it's not nearly as good as being able to just slam this on 3 and then like hitting one of their like big mana bombs or combo cards or something. So it's that, I think that playable keyword is actually really important for this card, but it's a 3-mana 4/3, right? That maybe makes them change their plan because basically they either have to play it or lose it. So it could change what they want to do, and messing with your opponent might have some value, but it's the kind of thing where I think I need to actually get my hands on it and try it in like a zoo deck and see how it actually works.
I think with the power level of current decks, I don't think this is good enough personally. Aggressively statted.
I'm kind of on the fence because it's aggressively statted, but also like in the best deck or one of the best warlock decks right now, the zoo deck, it's like it's got pretty good stats for that deck. And then on top of it, you might either, you know, prevent people from being able to deal with your board, because especially if you play this on curve, then you could prevent them from playing like a board clear. And if they choose to play their board clear instead of their corrupted card, then you've just cost them 2 cards instead of 1. So I'm kind of on the fence. I feel like I have to play around with this to really know.
Yeah, I just don't know what you take out. Right now, like the most popular zoo deck is only running Dragonblight Cultist in the 3 slot. Everything else is below is like 2/1, and then they have some hires as well.
Yeah, finding space is going to be really important, especially with the time where this whole thing is launching, and then combined with all the nerfs and stuff that we've been getting, and there's a really high power level in general across Hearthstone right now. So yeah, these cards are going to have to be either build around or super amazing to find their way into decks. And I don't know if Chaos Gazer actually fits that mold or not, but I will at least give it a shot because it's a cool effect. It's a cool idea.
Just editor's note, your crazy game story has to be more than my Chaos Gazer hit their combo piece. That's not making it on the show. That's right up there with your Gnome Feratu story. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, I love that caveat.
You can follow that up with your roulette winning story. Nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to hear it. I put it on black and it came up black.
Amazing. That's so crazy. Yeah. How often could that possibly happen?
Yeah, oh man. The only thing that makes me not completely kind of like want to rage at this card is the fact that like it's statted well. Like traditionally, I don't like these kind of effects because it's just like when you high roll, it feels amazing. But on average, it's just probably not doing that much. So,
yeah,
Let's talk about a seemingly standard card that has me super excited because it's basically Shielded Minibot, and we all know how much I love Shielded Minibot, right?
Yeah, exactly. I saw this and I was just like, oh man, Mech Pally is going to be happy about this. I mean, you're going to be happy about this because of how much you love Shielded Minibot. Like,
I am this stoked one as, about this.
As much as it's like not amazingly exciting, like it's just, it's a 2/2 mech with Reborn. At the same time, because it's in Paladin, it's just one of those things where it's like, man, it's just, it's just solid. It's just good.
Yes, and that 2/2 for 2 mech with Reborn in Paladin that Jocelyn is talking about is called Shotbot. And no, it is not going to help you search for items in World of Warcraft when it has just now come out in 2004. it's a mech for Paladins. I like this card a lot. It is very similar to Shielded Minibot, which is in Battlegrounds right now. So if you missed it, you're probably aware of it, at least. In this case, Reborn fulfilling a very similar effect of a Divine Shield, because you're probably going to have to deal with this twice to get rid of it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So.
And then, I mean, if you look at the Mech Pally list, then, I mean, you've got like, maybe Gyrocopter you could even take out. You could just be more aggressive from the get-go and then use this as another two drop, because right now they've really only got Galvanizer and Micro Mummy, right? So more in the two slot, be more aggressive, go Pally go.
Yep. Also, if you want to, if you're still out there messing with Quest Paladin, have fun, go nuts.
Is anyone still messing with Quest Paladin?
I mean, on the popular end, no, but there's always somebody out there having a great time with things that aren't popular. They're called hipsters, and they're usually Kyle Ferguson. And then finally, Dark Prophecy, a 3-mana rare pre-spell that reads, discover a 2-cost minion, summon it, and give it +3 health.
I don't know how I feel about this one. I feel like probably good. It is a discover effect. But I don't know. Wouldn't you just rather play Res Priest and get exactly what you want in your pool? This again falls into the category of like, I don't know if it's good enough to do something different than what the class is currently doing. Unless, again, it is +3 health. So maybe going back down the whole combo priest route, because that's one of the two things that priests can do, apparently.
That's the thing. I'm looking at this and saying, maybe not right now, but maybe standard new year. This is an interesting card.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's something, because I don't think that we've had this actually really happen before, right? So I can't even remember the wording around the standard year. But we're getting new cards in 2020. So even though this is part of the Galakrond expansion, Descent of Dragons, like, is it part of that? Is it its own standalone thing? Like, when are these cards actually going to rotate?
Oh, I would assume this has to be tied into Descent of Dragons.
I would assume that as well, because it does have, like, if you look at the cards, I guess the Paladin one is the easiest one to see. You can see the little icon. It's got the Descent of Dragons kind of logo with another card in behind it. So it's got a slightly different logo to tell you where it comes from. But yeah. I think it would be with its expansion, guys. Like, I'm just saying, this is a situation we haven't been in Hearthstone yet, where we've had extra cards added to the game in a calendar year that is not the same year as the expansion came out. So, yeah. Interesting.
It's
or at least I think it is. I think it's a question worth asking.
I would have to just, I flippantly just go to, there's no way that's how it works. Because it just seems insane.
It's just been so long since the standard year idea was introduced. Like, I can't remember the wording on it, if it was
expansion specific
or if it was release date. I thought it was release date, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I think that's how they've done it in the past, but I'm sure they're going to kind of make an addendum, considering considering what we're dealing with here. Plus, it does have a unique watermark, but the watermark uses the watermark from Descent of Dragons.
From Descent of Dragons, yeah, that's what I was saying. It's the Descent of Dragons logo with a card behind it.
Yeah, it's altered, that kind of links it, and it's also just so just branding wise, it is directly tied to Descent of Dragons. So, I think it would be it takes way more explaining to explain why this would not rotate out with Descent of Dragons than it does to explain that it does rotate out with Descent of Dragons. So, and that's how Hearthstone tends to operate. So,
yeah,
but a good thought. Also, who the hell, you know, maybe at the end they're go, no, we really like those cards and we have some ideas for the next Standard Deer and how that can play with those cards. So we're just going to call an audible here and keep these in. It's on them, really, at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's true. So. It's their rules to make or break.
Indeed. Indeed. And you know where I stand. Don't make arbitrary rules. Yeah. Do what feels right for the game. Well, before we move on into Battlegrounds, we have a sponsor to thank today, and that is Harry's. They're back. It's a new year, Jocelyn, but they still want me to keep my neck beard in check. They're just like, listen, Garrett, just because it's 2020 doesn't mean you need to have enough hair on your neck that you can write the year over your Adam's apple. You don't need to do that. So for the love of God, I know razors can be expensive, but they're only $2 per cartridge here. We can save you money all year long. Get that. Just keep it in check. We don't need to connect your chest hair to your neck hair. Nobody needs to see that. Unless it's what you're into. We don't kink shame here on the Angry Chicken. So go check them out. They want you to start your new year off right. New customers get $5 off Harry's trial set when you go to harrys.com/TAC. Listen, if you've been listening to the show a while, you've probably heard us talk about it. But I, to remind you, I'm a convert. I was using the cheapest razors I could find, which didn't work very well, or electric razors. And I got really, really used to an electric razor. And then Harry's was like, hey, you want to sponsor the show? Here's a sample. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll lather up. Like, oh, this smells amazing. Oh, this feels amazing. And then I shaved and I was like, I look amazing as I can look. To be honest, I'm only working with so much here, but Harry's helps me work with it. So I'm a big fan. Can't recommend enough. I'm a huge fan of just the way that their shaving lather smells. It smells so freaking good. It's a great way on mornings when I'm shaving to start my day. So go check them out. They've got a special offer for listeners of the Angry Chicken. New customers get $5 off a trial set at harrys.com/TAC. You're going to get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel with aloe, and a travel cover. So you can take it with you, keep yourself trimmed up nicely, even when you're on vacation. Something I'm very, very guilty of is letting my facial hair just get out of complete control when I'm traveling. So join the million of guys who've already switched and go to harrys.com/TAC to claim your offer right now. We thank them for their support and for you for going to harrys.com/TAC. And now let's get into this week's Battleground segment.
Have a good battle, friend.
I will, Bob, and thank you. Thank you for being you, Bob. Really appreciate it. Man, Joss, there's so much. We're just going right back to the balance update for our other segment about
jumping around a little bit, but
yeah, feels like the other half of Hearthstone that the majority of players are playing, Battlegrounds. With the update that killed Shaman, we got some balance updates to Battlegrounds, and we're going to start with Heroes. Shudderwalk got buffed, which I believe I called for a Shudderwalk buff.
Yes, you did.
Yep. And I believe I may have even suggested bringing the cost of the hero power down to 1 gold. And that's exactly what they did.
Sounds like you know Battlegrounds, Garrett.
All I'm saying is hire me, Blizzard. Or don't, because I'd like to keep doing this show. So I guess what I'm really saying is pay me, Blizzard.
Yeah, Garrett, don't leave me. What are you talking
about? Just pay me, Blizzard. Or hire both of us, and we'll just continue doing the show from the Blizzard offices, and we'll be actual Blizzard shills as opposed to perceived Blizzard shills by the internet. How's that sound?
Love it. Wonderful. Love it. You also, for the record, called Queen Wagdoggle as needing a buff, though. You did say you wanted it to be a free hero power, so still 1 gold, but it changed from attack to health, right?
Oh, yeah, they went nuts on this one.
They did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's still 1 gold, But it's plus two attack instead of plus one health to a random friendly mech, demon, murloc, and beast. Which means if you have a mech, demon, murloc, and beast on the board, all of them get plus two attack every time you hit this button. Yeah. I love it.
Nuts.
I'm actually really excited about this one. We got some HS replay stats to talk about later, which is going to take the wind out of these sails a little bit. But I've been having some dope Wagtoggle games.
I actually tried her before the show and I had a little bit of luck, but overall just, oh man, I've been playing a lot of Constructed. I haven't played a lot of Battlegrounds, and getting back into Battlegrounds, I was like, why haven't I been playing more of this? But I thought it was a friendly mech, demon, murloc or beast, not and beast. So I wasn't using it quite as often as I should have been, because you should basically be hitting that sucker every turn. And also, again, I didn't realize that it was all of them, so I should have been looking for stuff across all of those tribes to try to maximize the use I got out of those hero powers. So I just built her wrong. I realize that because I misread her power, but I still managed to get fourth, I think. So, I mean, it was still technically a win. I got points.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If Amalgam was still in play, chat room, that would be disgusting.
It'd be just absolutely nasty. Hydra is a really big kind of swing minion at the moment as well. And where you struggle with Hydra is finding ways to buff it. If you're Queen Wagtoggle, you're not really struggling with that. So that's a big thing to keep an eye out for while you're playing Wagtoggle. But also... plus two attack that can be enough in the early game, where a hero like Yogg is pretty much accepted to be top tier just because of the little extra boost that Yogg gives you in the early portions of the game. I like Wagtoggle a lot. That plus two attack is worth a decent amount. So I'm going to bat for Wagtoggle. I'm stoked about this one. I'm also stoked about the next one, which is Toki. Temporal Tavern, the cost was reduced from 2 to 1 gold. It also, they rewrote how it reads, which means it changed the way it works. It reads, refresh Bob's Tavern, include a minion from a higher tavern tier. This no longer adds an extra minion to your options. It replaces one of the current tier minions. The way it worked before is it added a minion from another tier, and it was just an additional pick. You got one more minion than you should have. So
it doesn't do that now, but she's still really good though.
Like, yeah, this way is better still, in my opinion.
You know, yeah. Refreshing the tavern is for the same cost is just, and getting an extra bonus. Like, that just is going to be better. So yeah.
Yeah. There's just no reason to not use this or like give it a shot for the most part. If you're going to refresh, right. Maybe if you're looking for something very specific at the tavern tier that you're at, it could be arguable. And I'm sure we could like run some stats that I'm not smart enough to figure out,
but that's like numbers, Garrett. And I don't like numbers. Math is hard or whatever.
So even though you're not getting an extra, like an extra bonus minion added on to the overall draft count,
you're keeping yourself in the tier you want to be in.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a massive, massive buff in my mind. So I like this a lot. And again, at one gold, it asks basically nothing of you.
Yeah.
Because you're going to refresh anyway. I've had the worst luck with Shudderwalk, honestly. I think
I find him to be super hit and miss. Like,
You either need to get lucky and you need to go up against like not Yogg or Daryl or anyone that can get early buffs, or you kind of need to get lucky, right? You either need to go up against weak opponents, I think, in the early to mid game, or you need to get a really aggressive just draft, because you're not going to be you're most likely not going to be adding a lot of power via your hero power in the early stages of the game, because gold is such a very strict commodity as you're leveling up through the rounds. There are exceptions to that. I think the big one is mech, because mech leaper comes online pretty damn early, and at 3-3 isn't the worst stat line in the world also to just be out on your board to kind of get up to 7 minions pretty quickly.
Right.
But, excuse me. But if you can make it to like the later portions of mid game, like Shudderwalk can go off. It can be gross. I do still think crowd favorite is a trap though. I'm sorry. I think crowd favorite's days might be over.
Yeah.
That I cannot get that freaking card to work for me. So.
Well, and a crowd favorite, like, so your battle cries trigger twice, but he doesn't get buffed twice, does he? Because no. He's like, when you play a battle cry.
Right. It's based off the playing of the card.
Yeah. Not the number of times the effect happens. So.
Correct. But you would think if you're trying to get buffs out of battle cries that playing a card that gets buffed passively when battle cry cards are played is probably worth it, but in reality, not really. Nope. You know what? Yeah. That's that crowd favorite slot is for? That crowd favorite slot is for brand late game, so you can be a bastard. That's what that slot is for. So, overall, like, I'm thrilled with all of these changes. But man, where is my Finley buff?
I know. Oh man, yeah, he was just DOA. He was terrible from the get-go as soon as they introduced him.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we've got some returning heroes as well. We've got patches.
And before you talk about them, we have two returning heroes and nobody rotated out. So Garrett, they listened to me. They increased the hero pool so that, you know, there only two aren't shown to people in the course of choosing a hero, but there's a chance now that not every single lobby is going to be the same. Yay!
Yes, and I'm already noticing the effects of this. It's wonderful.
Exactly. And I'm so glad they did this.
Now take it further. Bring three more back. So we've got like five just out of the rotation every game. It's so good. I love it. I'm really happy about it. We're basically just calling all of the Battlegrounds changes. I'm not saying we're the best with the direction of this game, but we're clearly the best with the direction.
We're kind of the best. We're the best. A little bit.
The best.
We're so good, Garrett.
but two old, what many would consider low tier heroes have returned and they have been buffed. Patches the Pirate up first. Fire the cannons at the start of next combat. Deal 4 damage to 2 random enemy minions, which has been increased from its previous damage of 3.
Yeah, so he's pretty much just scaling a little bit better. He's able to deal with minions a little bit further, even one or two rounds further on in the game while they're still down in those kind of mid-level health kind of pools that you're dealing with. And then, you know, late game, he could still pop Divine Shield. So, you know, he's not as bad as he used to be. And I think it might be enough to kind of carry him forward. It's only 1 gold.
Yeah. Yeah, with how big demons are right now, well, I guess it doesn't really matter, frankly. Both him and Ragnaros are just crap.
This still isn't gonna put a dent in demons, but
it's not like demons are rolling with divine shields.
Yeah.
So, it's fine. I think Patches is still pretty low on the totem pole, but
better than he used to be.
Yes.
Slightly.
Pyramid is also back, and Brick by Brick is now give a random friendly minion +3 health, which is up from +2 health. It's still 1 gold. I think still the lower end, but better than it used to be.
But better.
And much like Patches, it's 1 gold. Like, sure, why not?
Just push the button. Yeah.
Exactly. So this is cool. I'm glad to see actually some kind of lower end heroes getting thrown back into the mix. If they were just like, and Brand's back, I would have been like, oh, come on. Although actually, I don't know how good he'd be in an amalgamless meta.
Exactly. They probably could just bring him back and he'd be okay. Maybe.
Sorry, was coughing.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I was like, I finished my thought. I don't know where if Garrett wants to say more. So I'm just going to let it go.
Apologies. Yeah, I got nothing. Minion was changed, buffed, and in my opinion, Golden Soul Juggler. They've changed it on the Golden Soul Juggler now that after a friendly demon dies, the Golden Soul Juggler will deal 3 damage to a random enemy minion twice instead of 6 damage once. Now, there are like specific scenarios where you would rather it do 6 damage once, but I think there are many, many, many more scenarios where you would much rather it do 3 damage twice. This will just remove Divine Shields like its job, and that is its job.
Well, and not only Divine Shields, but I've also noticed that it's removing a lot of those little 1/1 tokens that I have generated either with beasts or mechs. And having those 1/1 tokens on board can sometimes soak up some of those really big attacks. And then you can, you know, swing back with something that has a little bit lower attack, and you're not losing any of your big guys to this big attack damage because you've got all these little 1/1 tokens. So when you've got a soul juggler on the other side, he's pinging off your 1/1 tokens and you're like, no, those are meant to, you know, take the big hits from these big, big attack minions in late game. And yeah, so the soul juggler, I think the two hits instead of one actually can be really impactful in the mid to late stages of the combat portion of the game.
Yeah, I agree. Now
it's much better, I think.
So I think they did this because it very much felt like it was the wrong move to triple a soul juggler if you were going a juggler demon build.
Right.
Now hear me out, because we clearly need to figure something out for the other minion that is wrong to triple, which is the Cobalt Guardian.
Mm-hmm.
The new triple Cobalt Guardian should be able to bank a Divine Shield. So did you get one back? There's a second charge there, so it's going to lose it and automatically reapply its own Divine Shield once.
No, I don't like that.
They would never do that because they'd have to include...
That would be some really weird coding.
God forbid they had like a little pip. I'm not sure we'd be able to understand it, but...
No, I don't like that idea. There's got to be a way to figure that out that isn't double Divine Shield bank. Divine Shield banking just makes me throw up in my mouth a little. Like, no, I don't want that. I don't want that. No, Garrett, no.
It's probably still not as good because of like attack order. And if you're buffing two kobolds and you're getting two attack sequences, it's still very good. Give them Wind Fury and bank the Divine Shields. Then it's basically equal to having two Cobalt Guardians. That's what we need. Done. Figured it out.
There you go.
No, they're not. This is me trolling. They're not going to do that. But I feel like I didn't see this one coming. The Soul Juggler was not in the back of my mind as, oh, we need to do something about the Soul Juggler problem. Because it wasn't really a problem outside of we really weren't incentivized to triple it. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really.
But it's interesting that they're looking at these things, right? Because Amalgam, when it was actually in Battlegrounds, was another one that you never wanted to triple. Like, you wanted to get two on board and that was it. And so it's interesting that they're looking at making sure that triples are actually that you're incentivized to do it and that things are working the way that you would want them to, instead of, you know, not doing those triples, because tripling is just such a big part of Battlegrounds. So I think this is a really good change. I'm glad they did it. And I'm glad that they're more so keeping an eye on cards like this that you may not want to proceed through the normal gameplay loop with them and making fixes where they think it's necessary.
Yeah. Yeah. And then under bug fixes and game improvements, they mentioned that Selfless Hero's Death Rattle will now only affect minions that do not already have Divine Shield, making Selfless Hero a million times better than it already was.
Okay, I thought this was absolutely insane. I'm like, this is so good now. Like, it wasn't bad to begin with, but now it's like, I can actually go like some crazy Bolvar Divine Shield build, and that's okay. Because like, I'm not going to be stacking Divine Shields, which is not a thing. This is so good.
Yeah. Bolvar has been getting me through some mid games.
I love Bolvar.
I've been digging Bolvar. It's not an end game plan. But Bolvar is a bridge. Bolvar helps you get to your destination. Bolvar is not the destination. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I've had some luck keeping him till the end game because I find he's so strong in the mid game that I can often eliminate some more powerful builds because they have a little bit of a lull when Bolvar is quite powerful. And then by the time I get to the end, I'm just like, he's enough. Like, all the people who looked like they were going to be in a snowball-y kind of position, I've already knocked out. So, you know, this is actually fine. This is working well. So, yeah, I like Divine Shield builds. I like Divine Shield builds. I like Death Rattle builds just because they're a little bit different. You know, everyone's chasing Murlocs and Demons, and I like to find the fun in the stuff that's a little bit different.
Yes, I am with you. I like Death Rattle builds a lot right now. They're a little on the difficult side to go after.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the Murloc boards I've seen have just felt like, how would I ever beat this with any other strategy? But yeah. I think that's going to be next. And also, I feel like on average, demons just lose to people that get the Murloc nuts. If you find the Murloc nuts, you're gonna win. But both of those, I'm just looking at it, it's like I think they're gonna target them, but I'm not sure how. Because it really feels like right now that like I can damn near blindly force demons every game and almost guarantee I make top four.
Yeah, I think definitely. Yeah, demons to top four is definitely happens to me quite often now. For sure.
Like you have to get pretty unlucky. Not
like a win-win. I usually end up losing to poisonous Murlocs, but
yeah,
definitely top fours.
I've had a lot of second places with demon builds this week to poisonous Murlocs. Which it doesn't always happen. It's not like every damn game I'm staring down like 60 health Murlocs board wide with divine shield and poison. But the fact that it's happened more than once this week is concerning to me. But I don't really know where they go from here. They've made some really interesting changes, and it's been fun to kind of watch the ebb and flow of like demons kind of being a joke to demons being the thing everyone's chasing, because it's not really worth chasing Murlocs mid game, and you can just kind of like hard swap late game unless you get some kind of crazy brand thing going.
Yeah, but and all of that came from the amalgam removal, right? Like when everyone could get an amalgam and make it poisonous, then, you know, everyone could kind of go down that poisonous route and there was no like penalty for that, right? Because you could just get the amalgams down so early. You only had to find poisonous once and then you could just buff it with whatever else your build was. So, you know, like now that you have to kind of go heavy Murloc in order to get poisonous, or you have to take a little bit of a tempo kind of loss with Myxna because she's only a 2/8, right? So you don't have these like big, huge divine shields, poisonous bodies on your board if you're chasing it now, not the way you used to when there were amalgams. So I like this better. I like poisonous having a bit of a downside so that it's not just the thing that people automatically go for. And it can allow things like, you know, growing junk bots, growing hyenas and, you know, big booty demons. Like those are viable strategies now where they really weren't with poisonous running rampant through battlegrounds. So
man, I don't
I'm
know.
Happy. It feels good now, I think.
You know me and my love for junk bot. I don't think that's a viable strategy right now.
Mechs are definitely on the downturn for sure. My point was more just like before your stuff just wouldn't grow. Or if it did, like you were like, oh, yay. OK, I've hit the threshold. Yay. Look how big my junk bot is. And then, you know, some little 2/1 stupid little Murloc is like, ha ha, poisonous, stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Those for sure. I think mechs are great. I think just junk bot is just not worth chasing anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just like you'll get there with kobolds and some battle cries, but and lucky exchanges, obviously, to get your divine shields to reset correctly on your kobold, which of course never happens to me. I get the most unlucky attack positions ever. But yeah, I don't know where they go from here. If anything, it's just if nothing else, it's like, okay, beasts need some help. Mm-hmm. They have been in the bottom of the barrel for a while now. They are a trap. Every time I'm like, oh, that's an oil. That's a really early Rat King with some buffs. Doesn't matter. Doesn't freaking matter.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like wherever they're going to go really, really quickly, because basically they're saying there's new content in the pipeline, that there are more balance changes coming very soon. TM is very soon. The new TM.
Maybe. Before
they seem to be moving at a good clip. So
yeah. I mean, they said very soon. So I believe them at the rate they've been moving. It's not the holiday break anymore. Like we're here.
It'll
2020
be a couple
is
weeks. Yeah,
Blizzard 2020 is here. They're working. Before we leave the battleground talk, our friends over at HS Replay did send us over some stats to look at, comparing Shudderwalk, Infinite Toki, and Queen Wagtoggle, the buffed heroes, not the returning heroes, because obviously we didn't have stats for them to compare them to, because they weren't in battlegrounds a week ago. But they sent us over some stats comparing January 4th through 8th to the post-buff, which went live on the 10th up through basically today. And some of this is crazy. So first is like their first place win rate, which is modest, as it probably should be, because there's eight players.
Yeah, it's hard to come first. Yeah.
Yes, it is quite difficult. But Toki and Shudderwalk have moved up after their buffs. Shudderwalk a lot. It was at a 9.6 for first place win rate. Now at a 13.4% in its first place win rate. Toki as well, going from 7.8% to 12.5%. And Wagtalken went down.
I know, which I found a little bit surprising. But then again, I tried a game with her and I didn't really have much luck. So maybe without Amalgam, it's just too hard to build all four kind of tribes in one board. I don't know. But
zoo builds, zoo drafts are not in vogue right now. None of us really have a practiced head for drafting zoo, and that's what Wagtalken wants you to do. Also, all of these heroes' pick rates went through the damn roof, where before they were middling, if basically never. Queen Wagtalken a week ago had a 6% pick rate.
Yeah.
Wagtalken's gone up to 32% just in the last 4 days.
So you've got a lot more people like me who have no idea what they're doing, but go, oh, she got buffed. I should try her. And then losing.
I'm coming to your defense. I think all of us, whether you've got a little experience with recent Battlegrounds or a lot, we're not really chasing zoo strategies. We don't have a head for it. It's unpracticed. We're not entirely sure what the outcomes of certain combinations is going to be, because we just haven't been playing the game that way since Amalgam left.
Yeah.
Also, it's kind of scary, or it can be. Now, Wagtalken should be, in theory, be able to help you with the attack buff to help get you there. But I think it is still a little on the hard side. And also, I think people might honestly be over chasing that zoo draft with Wagtalken.
Yeah.
So just.
And
just,
I mean, she does her I guess win rate did go up because she went up about 3% in placing in the top four. So she may not be placing first, but she's at least a little bit more consistently placing in the top four. So
yeah,
versus, they all of them are like basically they all three of these, except for Wagtalken in her first place win rate. But every other stat across all three of these heroes went up. So, you know, they got first more often, they win more often, and they're picked more often. So. Pick rates are really crazy. I can't believe, like, Wagtalken aside, even Shudderwalk and Toki, I can't believe how much they went up.
Yeah, yeah, this is true for all of them. Toki, top four, which is the stat I like looking at, because that's, you're talking about consistency over, you know.
Right.
What's the average across a lot of games? And you know, Toki went from a 38% top four win rate to a 49%, and Shudderwalk went from 37% to 45%. I mean, that's some really great momentum for these heroes. So I'm stoked. I really like these changes.
Me too.
Love that Aegis Replay has been sending us these stats, because it's not forward facing. They don't have this on their site. Although I would assume if they're sending them to us, they are tracking them, Jocelyn. I wonder what they could be doing.
I don't know, man. I don't know. But we thank HS Replay very much for sharing the stats with us and the fans of the Angry Chicken.
Yeah. Go check them out if you haven't already. Best place for Hearthstone stats. We have one more sponsor to thank today before we move into crazy game stories and take your emails, and that is Honey, which you can get for free at joinhoney.com/TAC. Now, you probably already know that Honey is the free online shopping tool that automatically finds the best promo codes and applies them to your card, and you know how great it feels to save. But how does it feel to save with Honey? Saving with Honey, Jocelyn, it feels like getting a floating watcher off a triple two-star homunculus while you have two Wrath Weavers on board already. That's what it feels like.
That literally happened to me today, and it's a glorious feeling.
Oh, you bastard.
Yeah. Oh, so good, man.
So, you know, what are you going to do? But you should go check out Honey. Honey helped me out a lot. It's a browser plugin. It automatically finds you the best coupons for whatever it is you're shopping for. Saved me quite a bit of money, and I was like, I was on a roll there. I was on like a win streak with coupons for stocking stuffers. I don't know what it was about the items I was throwing in Katie's stocking, but Honey was like, I can save you there. Oh, I got you, bro. Oh, I got this one too. It was wonderful. I was like, oh, cool. I just saved like freaking $18 over the course of a few stocking stuffers. It was wonderful. Go check it out. Using Honey feels great. Think of it as a little daily victory. Plus, it's free to use and installs in just seconds. You can get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/TAC. That's joinhoney.com/TAC. Go check it out. I mean, for crying out loud, we got like over 100,000 five-star reviews on Google Chrome Store. That's one of the few things I've seen with more five-star reviews than the Angry Chicken. Just, you know, humble brag there. Humble brag. Let's move to this week's crazy game stories.
Because the whole world got crazy.
You're in trouble now.
You got it!
You can send your crazy game stories to tacpodcast@gmail.com or drop them in the patron Discord. I'm gonna pass this to you, Jocelyn, because I don't think I could read all this.
I figured you might. This one comes to us from Charlie in the UK. Greetings and well met. Sometimes you have to pray to the gods, or in this case, dragons, and they will deliver. I was playing Galakrond Handlock against a paladin. As the Road to Legend is full of aggro at the moment, I mulliganed for my AoE cards and thought I was rewarded when I opened up with a Plague of Flames and two Dark Skies. Thinking I should be in good shape for the matchup, we begin. Uther plays a Christology, which is nothing unusual for a paladin there. I tap and try to get some better options and pass it back over, and a novice engineer comes down. Great Holy Wrath paladin. I haven't played this matchup yet, and I don't know how it's going to turn out. Over the coming turns, I build up some boards of 1-1 demons that he consistently wipes away. The paladin plays a very careful game, not overly using resources, yet still drawing very well. And every time I start to get him low, Kangor, Flashes of Light, and even a triple Shervala, thanks to Sathervar, heal him right back up to full. Heal is cheap, paladins. Come on. I turn into a full Galakrond, but my demons get wiped again, and although I've managed to get him down to 8 life with Kronks and my weapon, he only has 2 cards left in his deck, and I know he has 1 timeout left. Funnily enough, timeout gets played, and then the spamming begins of well played from my opponent, assuming he has me beaten. I also come to that conclusion, and I know there's nothing else I can draw that will get me through his immunity. I'm about to concede when I see my new draw, Dragon Queen Alexstrasza. I think, hey, why not? She's active so late into the game, let's see what kind of fun I could have had. And oh yeah, she's got some fun for me. Although getting a zero-cost Caligos is nice, it's the other dragon that's sitting next to her that causes my heart to race. It's Mirazond. As the pieces fall in place in my head, I spam my own well played, slam down the legendary priest dragon, and watch as Galakrond becomes immune. I end my turn and wait 10 seconds while my opponent figures out what just happened before conceding. The most important lesson of all, never concede, as you never know what gifts the dragons may give you.
And if you don't remember, because Dragon Priest didn't really work out.
Yeah, because one plays Mirazond.
That's the legendary priest dragon that on the battle cry plays all cards your opponent played last turn, which means you just did a bunch of Shervala paladin stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely getting a timeout so that the paladin couldn't kill you. And then, yeah, so good.
That, take that, Holy Wrath paladin.
Yep.
Death by your own medicine.
Yeah, well played spamming Holy Wrath paladin. Come on now. Come on.
I like the emotes in Battlegrounds so much.
Like, I like them too.
Little like respect nods when y'all tie or you just barely win or lose to each other. It's great.
I like the thumbs up.
I like the thumbs up, but the best is the waving Murloc.
I was going to say, and the waving Murloc.
I just need that tattoo.
I am him.
Like on my heart, because that's where it lives.
I thought you were going to say your butt.
Yes, I need a tattoo on my butt, Jocelyn. But we don't kink shame here on the Angry Chicken. Whatever you're into.
That is not going to be the episode title.
No, the episode title is the safe word is Golden Pack. That's the episode title. All righty. Well, let's see what questions you have from the inbox.
Hello.
Hello, it's me.
Hello.
Just quickly, do you get my message?
Yep.
Oh.
Hello, brother.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba- emails, questions, things like that, send them the same place, tacpodcast@gmail.com or the patron Discord. Hachikumo wants to know, do we have any Hearthstone-related New Year's resolutions? We've lived with Hearthstone for so long, so it might be hard to set a new goal, but how about picking a goal in Battlegrounds? Jocelyn, I'm about to hit my goal in Battlegrounds, which means I've now jinxed myself.
I was
going to
say, I know that Garrett has Battlegrounds goals, so I thought this was a good question for him to give him a chance to talk about that a little bit.
I've been so beaten and bruised in the 5,000s that I was just like, I just need to hit 6K. That's my goal. I just need to hit it. And I am like 47 points away from 6K.
Why are you even talking to me right now, Garrett? You should be playing Battlegrounds in the background. Just be like, oh, I'm sorry, my voice is just cutting out. I can't talk anymore. And then just play Battlegrounds.
Because I would be half listening to you and then I would misplay horribly and backslide like I have many times already. So also, when they have changes to heroes, I just play those new heroes regardless if I think they're good or not, because I want to have experiences with them. So I also backslide when that happens. But, you know, I'm making excuses. I should just
a little bit.
I'll just draft demons every game and we'll get there. No, I will get there on my own terms, which is playing the game in a fun way.
That's kind of why I don't have a Battlegrounds goal, because I just find Battlegrounds to be fun. So I want to win more than I lose, which I actually find quite easy because a top four is a win. And so that generally happens for me. And I don't really want to set a goal because I just want to play it and have fun. So, I mean, I haven't been playing nearly as much as you, Garrett. And I think I'm just like kind of as shy of 5,000 as you are of 6,000. And I'm having fun. It's a fun game mode to pop in and out of, and it's never going to fully pull me away from Constructed, but man, is it fun to play. So, I mean, now I'm just kind of splitting my time between two different modes. So, I don't even know what I could say in terms of like goals for Hearthstone. What I kind of want to do, it's not really a goal. It actually kind of feels more like a chore. So I don't even know if this like qualifies as an answer to Hachikumo's email, but like, I just want to kind of clean up my card backs because there's a few heroic adventures that are heroic single players that I still haven't completed. So I kind of just want to like go back and do kind of some house cleaning. Can house cleaning be a resolution? Probably.
My goal is to pay someone to get me the Arthas portrait because I don't want to do it myself.
Yeah, I don't have the Arthas portrait. I think it's like the Arthas portrait and then like one or two other heroic card backs that I don't have. I have like all of the like super, super old ones. So I've got like Naxx, I've got Blackrock, I've got, I think, Karazhan. But then, yeah, there's a couple like Frozen Throne, the Arthas thing I don't have. I kind of want to go back and get those done. But it's so funny because that's another kind of like mode that I would be playing in Hearthstone when where all my fun is, I'm having all my fun is in Battlegrounds and in Standard. So I kind of like, I don't want to set a goal because I don't want to try to, you know, I don't want to pull myself away from where I'm having a ton of fun. But I feel like, yeah, I don't know. Anytime I've ever set a Hearthstone goal, then I get all up in my head and then I don't hit it. And then I feel really bad about myself. So I'm just going to have fun and do well. Like I hit rank 3 last season and because I was just having fun.
I mean, have more fun is a really good goal. And I think one that many of us could bring into many aspects of our lives.
Actually, yeah, maybe that's what I should just say is like my goal is to just treat Hearthstone like a game and have fun. What?
We're not pro players, Jocelyn. Let's have fun with that. Let's have fun with that fact. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm right in. Let us know your goals, folks. Tweet at TAC Podcast on Twitter, TACPodcast@gmail.com, patron Discord. I'm curious about what your goals are. I would like to go back to some of the heroic wings I haven't cleared out from the dungeon runs this year. Well, this standard year, sorry. Because I haven't done them all and I really enjoy them.
Yeah.
Problem is, I really enjoyed Battlegrounds. The single player
was really fun. Yeah.
I would probably be done with those had they not released Battlegrounds, but.
Well, and especially where, like you said, Battlegrounds has been updating at such a crazy pace, even if you include the fact that it launched around BlizzCon and then, or at least beta, whatever, into around BlizzCon. And then, you know, we had the Christmas holidays in there. Like, those are two major Blizzard events, and we still got multiple updates throughout that time. So the pace that they're updating, it means that Battlegrounds never really gets old and never really gets tired. It gets figured out, but even then it gets figured out, and then you sit with that same like meta for maybe a week before a change comes in. So you never really feel like you can walk away like and switch to something else, because it's just so fresh and so fun all the time because of their update pace, that you're just like, where do I find my 2 to 3 weeks to go back and play, you know, a season of Constructed or something? It's like, that doesn't exist because Battlegrounds.
I think right now is a good place, because even though we did just have a balance change last week, it didn't really shift the drafting meta, which is the constant, right? Like, you can change heroes up all you want and bring them in, take them out. But if you don't change up the drafting meta, on average, playing a game of Battlegrounds is going to feel samey.
So
they did say very soon, and I would imagine that the next round of changes are going to be targeting the meta that we're in right now, which feels pretty
public card stuff.
That's what you need to do. So I think right now is a great time to go Hit Ladder. Personally, if you have Battlegrounds FOMO, let me give you a hall pass. Go check out Standard. Go check out WoW. Go play some Arena. I think right now is a pretty damn good time. Unless you're like the world's biggest like Wagtoggle or Toki fan or something, because they just get some cool buffs. But
I do love me some Toki.
I want to make a 420 joke for some reason. That's just low-hanging fruit. So let's just take the next question.
This one comes to us from Mizorski, who says, "Hi, Garen, Jocelyn. I listened a ton a while back and then took a break, but I have returned, just getting into the game after a couple of years off, and I have two questions. First off, if I only play Standard, will I regret dusting all of my Wild-only cards? And second, do you know of any good amateur, and I mean very amateur, Hearthstone leagues? I want to play a couple of competitive games a week and have a win-loss record, but I want it to be fun and casual, still competitive, kind of like a softball league." So for the first question, if I only play Standard, will I regret dusting all my wild cards? I would say no. I mean, if you're dusting your wild cards in order to make the Standard legal cards that are then going to enhance your enjoyment of the game and let you play the decks you want to play, I would say absolutely dust your wild only cards. I mean, we just saw with Doom in the Tomb that if they're going to bring wild cards back into Standard, then it doesn't have to be based on your collection, right? Like, we just got those. So I think that there's no real risk if you're never going to go and play wild. If you think that you might go play wild, I might leave them alone. But again, not at the expense of the place where you're currently finding enjoyment in the game.
Nothing more to add.
All right.
If you're sticking to that, if you truly mean I will only ever play Standard, then yeah, there's no reason to not just dust your wild cards.
Well, I totally understand the sentiment, though, because I mean, I think I touched wild for one season last year. So like all of 2019, I might have played like a week of wild. And even then I was like, oh man, can't touch my wild cards. What if I wake up one morning and I'm like, you know what? I'm a wild player now. Like,
every time I visit wild, I
understand the fear.
Every time I visit wild, because I am a visitor, I have a great time. So for me personally, I don't get in there, but I am not on the strictest of Hearthstone budgets. Like, part of my business is talking about Hearthstone, and I reinvest some of that into my own damn card collection. So if I didn't do this show, I would very likely dust my wild cards for the sake of playing on a stricter budget.
Yeah. If I had a collection and cards I knew I wasn't going to play, like I guess I go back and I will dust legendaries and epics and stuff, or even every once in a while, a golden version of something. Only if I know it's a card that I will absolutely never play. There are bad cards in Hearthstone. It's designed that way to have bad cards so that you learn about bad cards. So, I mean, there are some things that are pretty safe to dust and some things that will only ever be meme-y. And so if that's what you're looking for, then, you know, don't dust them. But those are the ones that I dust. But I definitely understand, like, when you have the card and you're sitting there going like, I may never play it, but what if I do? I understand those feels. I can definitely relate to that.
Yeah. As to the leagues, do you know of one? Because I don't know of one personally.
So there used to be one called the United Hearthstone League. And then right before Grandmasters came out, they basically had to stop. And I haven't heard of anybody starting up a league past that. Now, you can head on over to like Battlefy and Smash.gg and basically just search for, because there are Hearthstone leagues that exist, and you'll be able to tell from the descriptions or the rules and kind of like the players and stuff and how popular they are and what the prize pool, if any, actually is. You'll be able to tell how like serious and competitive it is. But there are existing Hearthstone leagues over on those sites, so I would urge you to check them out. I don't know exactly what you're looking for, so I can't like put a link in the show notes or anything, but I would say go onto those tournament organizing sites because that's where you're going to find them. Obviously, if you do want a little bit more competition, you could always, like, there's nothing stopping you from entering like the Open Cups. There's a lot of like just weekly tournaments, so it wouldn't necessarily have like the league feel, like the week over week, but yeah, I mean, there's definitely stuff over on those websites, and there's lots and lots of tournaments. If you're just looking for that kind of tournament type vibe, then go check out those websites. Check out the Open Cups for Hearthstone Masters qualifications. Like that's like the more competitive stuff, but you know, people take it seriously when you're in it. But yeah, league wise, the last one that I knew of had to close because of, I guess, cease and desist, basically orders from Blizzard. So yeah. But that was the biggest one that I knew of. So, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know if they can. Yeah, I don't actually know. I think you can, like, apply to be a league, but I don't know of any that have been, like, officially approved since Blizzard started their own league and didn't want, like, brand confusion, basically.
I mean, I don't think Mussorgsky is necessarily looking for an official league.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's plenty out there. I don't have one to point you to. I don't know anyone personally.
Yeah, I think there are a lot over on those tournament organizing sites. So I would say just pop over there and do a little search and see what you can find. Again, I think the best resources are probably either battlefy.com or smash.gg.
Awesome. Well, thank you for your questions, everybody. Keep them coming, tacpodcast@gmail.com, or drop them in the Patreon Discord. That's going to bring us to the end of this episode. Speaking of our patrons, thank you again for the support, everyone. If you would like to support this podcast, head on over to patreon.com/TAC. Way more of you listen than our patrons, and that's okay, because the patrons are happy to be here and support the show with their hard-earned dollars. But we would like to ask you to go check it out and consider supporting the Angry Chicken. Other than that, big thanks to our producers, Declan H. and Cheesy Bob. If you want to look into becoming a producer, it's over there on the Patreon as well. The whole back catalog of episodes can be found on amove.tv or youtube.com/amovetv. And you can follow the show on Twitter @TACPodcast. But before we go, Jocelyn, you're not just an awesome host on the Angry Chicken. You also make all kinds of other awesome content and stream. Where can folks find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch. I'm @JossPlays. You can check out my general gaming show that I do every week called The Gamers In, or you can go and check out my World of Warcraft podcast called For Azeroth. We tend to talk about news, obviously, but then we do some community resources stuff. We talk about add-ons, talk about lore. So yeah, go and check out For Azeroth as well.
I'm Garrett Art on Twitter and amove.tv for everything else. Into the Nexus for Heroes of the Storm. Let's talk about Star Wars for I Would Hope You Know What That Show Is About and WoW Killer. new WoW show I'm spinning up. That's a single topic episode. So go check those out over at amove.tv. That's going to wrap it up for this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. We will be back next week. But until then, job's done.
Job's done. We'll be right back.
Job's done.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.